61. And that does it for our broadcast. If you'd like to get a copy of this DVD or any others, they make wonderful holiday gifts. You can go to our website at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Sharifa Bilkadoosh, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Yoruba Richin, Aaron Matei, Jen Utes, Lee Burek. Mike DeFilippo and Nick Marsilio are our engineers. Uri Galed is our director. A special thanks to Jeanette Ivers and Dennis Moynihan. Again, that website is democracynow.org, where you can read transcripts of our broadcast, and you can also hear and watch the video and audio podcast. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And it's just about 6 o'clock. You're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, where the time is, as I said, just about 6 o'clock. Time, once again, for me to say it's 6 o'clock, it's time for Off the Wall. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, the Tuesday before Christmas. Oh boy, this is going to be a lot of fun coming up it's going to be a week from yesterday, which means next week is the loneliest day on campus, December 26th. That's what we've always been told, and we get to be on the air during that festive occasion. Special guest in the studio tonight, Arsenio is here, visiting from Off the Hook.
Yes, hello.
And let's make sure your microphone's working. It's working good.
Does it work? Yes.
Yeah, it works, okay. It works pretty good. So you're out here, this is your first time you've seen this station.
Yeah. No, I'm used to the BAI station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
It's different. Oh, yeah. We try to be different here. We make things work. We have that Cuban style. We make things work out of almost nothing. And, yeah, that's hopefully what we're going to continue to do. We'll hopefully have something to make things work with.
Well, at least it works.
It works. It works pretty good. And as always, we'll be taking your phone calls, 631-632-9872, a little bit later on in the program. And I guess, let's get right down to some of the things we've been up to lately. We've been playing around with various bits of technology and things. We had some fun yesterday with this. I don't want to go too crazy with the cell phone jammer because there's a lot of controversy involving this thing. But boy, is it ever fun! It really is fun, right?
Well, we were in the bookstore yesterday.
Oh yeah.
And you were saying something. I couldn't realize what you were saying, but it turns out that you were actually blocking someone from speaking on their phone because this woman was talking really loud.
Yeah. Well, what was happening was, first of all, for some reason. Well, actually, I know what the reason is. This time of year, everybody decides to go to the bookstore and buy things for other people, I guess, or for themselves. I don't know. But the line, my God, the line went all the way to the back of the store and then looped around and started going to the front of the store, going down all these aisles and little passageways. I don't know who decided which aisles they'd go down, but the line was just went on forever. And then, at one point, I believe this is before we actually got on the line. We were looking at books. We're trying to find something of interest. this one woman just gets on the phone and is yelling at her daughter or something like that, and just, you know, everybody for a mile around is able to hear this person. And, you know, I've gotten a fair amount of flack, well-deserved flack, for using this thing, because, after all, who am I to turn off other people's conversations? But I counter that by saying, who are these other people to inject their lives into my ear and relentlessly cause me distraction and just be loud and abrasive and obnoxious? So what I did basically was just throw the switch on, and the situation was dealt with.
True.
The situation, because it made her get off the phone, and then she found something else to get angry at, and she did it someplace else. And I think the people around were happy. We're happy that she suddenly lost her signal. So I don't advise using this thing just willy-nilly, you know, whenever you feel like. Use it for a purpose.
Well, I think, and this thing is not very legal here, right?
You know, I found, I've got some information on that, actually. No, it's not entirely legal, but what's your point?
Well, I was just saying that this would have a better purpose for, like, commercial entities. Like,
oh, yeah.
In the bookstore, they could have had some kind of cell phone jammer thing.
But arsenate's no less legal.
Right, no, I'm just saying...
I mean, it's no more legal.
Were it legal.
Right.
It might have more of a purpose in the store, and the store's policy is, you know, don't talk on your cell phone, mm-hmm. rather than you, a customer, coming in and doing this. I think it would work really well on trains, because on the way in, some guy was, like, screaming on his phone.
And come on, are we actually saying that we have to take that, we have to tolerate that? Should we confront the person? You know, how's that going to turn out? Do you really think you're going to get anywhere that way? Then you have an enemy for the whole ride, and all kinds of confrontations that makes other people uncomfortable. You know, you just take care of the situation with a switch, and the guy either shuts up or moves to another car. All right.
Yep.
Until they have cell phone free cars on the LIRR, which think they should have, I think this is a good solution, even though it's not legal. Now, here's the legality situation on this. In the United States, United Kingdom, Australia, and many other countries, blocking cell phone services as well as any other electronic transmissions is against the law. In the United States, cell phone jamming is covered under the Communications Act of 1934. Yeah, they really were looking ahead, but I don't know if it's specifically covered. It prohibits people, this is a quote, from willfully or maliciously interfering with the radio communications of any station licensed or authorized. Now, I maintain that people walking around are not stations. They're consumers. But basically, jamming is seen as property theft because, get this, I love this, a private company has purchased the rights to the radio spectrum, and jamming the spectrum is akin to stealing the property the company has purchased. What about the property of the air going into my ears or whatever, you know, the sound? Can I purchase that so that it doesn't annoy me?
Well, I think it's more of a denial of service than property theft, like, logically.
But a denial of service would affect, I think, the sender more than just the person who's picking up. I mean, I see the point. I do see the point. And also, this is another good point. It also represents a safety hazard because jamming blocks all calls in the area, not just the annoying ones. Jamming a signal could block the call of a babysitter frantically trying to contact a parent. Well, then again, she wouldn't be on the cell phone. The parent would be trying to contact the babysitter. They'd probably be on the cell phone.
Yeah, but what happened before cell phones?
Yeah, exactly.
How did the babysitter contact
the babysitter would, you know, use the landline, or the parent would use the payphone or something like that.
Call forwarding? I saw commercials for call forwarding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You go to your friend's house, you have all your calls forwarded to your friend's house.
So anyway, fines for this offense can range as high as $11,000, but no one has actually been fined yet. I guess we could be the first if we're caught. Which is a good chance since we're talking about it off of the air. But literally, I don't use this very much. I only use it in a situation where, you know, bloodshed might result otherwise. Anyway, in most countries, it is illegal for private citizens to jam cell phone transmissions, but some countries are allowing businesses and government organizations to install jammers in areas where cell phone use is seen as a public nuisance. So they get to define what the public nuisance is. In December 2004, France legalized cell phone jammers in movie theaters, concert halls, and other places with performances. And France is finalizing technology that will let calls to emergency services go through. India has installed jammers in parliament and some prisons. It's been reported that universities in Italy have adopted the technology to prevent cheating, where people take pictures of the tests and send it to their friends and get the answers.
Well, that's nice.
So there are alternatives. and this is coming from a site known as HowStuffWorks.com. While the law clearly prohibits using a device to actively disrupt the cell phone signal, there are no rules against passive cell phone blocking, and that means using things like wallpaper or building materials embedded with metal fragments to prevent cell phone signals from reaching inside or outside the room.
So they don't want you to do that?
No, that's completely legal, apparently.
Okay, yeah.
These are ways of getting around the law.
I see.
Some buildings have designs that block radio signals by accident due to thick concrete walls or a steel skeleton. Companies are working on devices that control a cell phone but do not jam the signal. One device sends incoming calls to voicemail and blocks outgoing calls. The argument is that the phone still works, so it's technically not being jammed. It's a legally gray area. But there's something else, too, which was sent in by a listener. This is called SHHH, Society for Handheld Hushing. And what these people do is they have these little cards that read as follows. Dear cell phone user, we are aware that your ongoing conversation, and then there's boxes that you can check with your friend, your mate, this is an Australian one, I think, your friend, your mate, your mom, your therapist, and then about last night, the game, him in parentheses, her in parentheses, is very important to you, but we thought you'd like to know that it doesn't interest us in the least. In fact, your hobbling disregard for others is more than a little annoying. And little cards with varying themes. The rest of us don't care what he or she said to you. Inside voices, please. The world is a noisy place. You aren't helping things. You are being very loud. Just so you know, everyone around you is being forced to listen to your conversation. And then other ones just say, shush.
Yeah.
And that's good. I'm all for it. But again, it's kind of confrontational. And it might result in more trouble than you bargained for.
I mean, it's like, when you're speaking to someone, mm-hmm. you're not screaming at them, so why would you have to scream at your phone?
Yeah, that's the thing. And people ask me, so do you also object to people having conversations? And no, I don't, because people don't have conversations like that, unless they're having an all-out fight.
Yeah, but
in which case it can be entertaining, because you do get to hear both sides.
Yeah, but I mean, most people don't do that in public.
Most people don't, because they realize they're in public. People forget they're in public when they're on the cell phone.
You get lost in it.
They forget how much information they're giving out about themselves. I found out so much information about that woman on the train, on the Amtrak. So thanks, Robert, for sending in information on both of those sites, How Stuff Works and the shush cards. Jonathan writes in, could you elaborate on the source of your cell phone blocker? No. I'm not going to give out the product details, except to say that it looks really cool. It's a metal box with absolutely no name or indication as to what it is and three little antennas on the top. And if you look for it on the web, you'll find it yourself. You just have to search. So you got to do a little research to find these things, and I don't want to give out too much information because it could result in some rather annoying things, I guess, to the people who sell them. So anything else going on that you'd like to bring up, Arsene, since this is your first time here?
Yeah, well, the smart car, it was fun driving that around.
The smart car, we've been driving that around town. We have it back from Canada. I was in Westchester the other day, I was driving back to the city. I was driving back here, actually.
Yeah.
And I took the Triborough Bridge, and that's got a toll booth. And, boy, you know, sometimes people just smile and wave and do things. Sometimes you get the mega reaction. And it was about maybe 3 in the morning, and I got the mega reaction at the toll booth at the Triborough Bridge. Every single collector came running out to look at the car, and everyone's pointing at it and having conversations with themselves. Hey, I told you this car exists. I saw this car. And people actually had seen the car before. One car in New York City, and people remembered it. And all kinds of questions. People were really pretty educated about this. They knew about the video of the car hitting the wall at 60 miles an hour and surviving. They knew about the gas mileage. They knew that you can't get it in the States yet. And it was great. I was there for 10 minutes talking to all the people collecting tolls because they weren't collecting tolls. They were talking to me. And the funniest thing was that traffic was building up behind me and nobody cared. Nobody was doing anything about it. And I wasn't going to chastise them about not doing their job. It was kind of pleasant seeing these people as human beings for a change. And the really funny thing was that all the people who were lined up behind us weren't honking, because these were the people in charge that were blocking things. So you don't honk at them because they could, I don't know, charge you double or something. So you don't want to annoy them too much. So everybody was just kind of chilling, and it was unusual. One person even turned off his lights and just was waiting until the commotion died down and traffic was allowed to resume.
Yeah, it's like Mercedes, you know, they could really just send a couple of these cars around the country, mm-hmm. just driving around, telling people all about them. I'm pretty sure that would drive up sales when they finally become available.
Yeah, they should hire me to just drive around because I know all the roads to go down to get.
You know, other companies could hire you. You know, like when they ask you questions, you just say, "Oh, yeah, go buy this product."
Mm-hmm.
You know, free advertising.
Yeah, I could do that. Be a spokesperson for various things. This cell phone jammer works better than the other ones. Yeah, I'm always getting things I'm not supposed to get though. You know, the cell phone jammers, smart cars, Canadian TV. So I don't know. I don't know how good a representative I am for those things, but. We'll see. What else is going on? Of course, we've been talking a lot about the police shooting in Jamaica, which you've heard about, right?
Yep.
And that's been a topic on this show for the last few weeks, ever since it happened. And we were going through, first of all, I don't think there's any new developments in this, except for the fact that the police story is looking more and more like a fabrication. There was no fourth man. Looks like there was no indication that these people posed any threat. To the undercover cops who opened fire on the car, 50 bullets killing that guy.
I don't know. I don't even understand what they actually why they started shooting. I mean, there was like someone saying, "I'm going to get a gun" or something like that.
Well, that's the story. Here's the thing. There's no way that particular story can be confirmed. So when people say someone was saying they're going to get a gun, you're believing what the cops said,
yeah.
Which is probably something that was said to protect his ass. And in the end, it's well, I heard someone say they're going to get a gun, and I thought they had a gun. You know, if a civilian said something like that, it would be, this is what he said. This is the alleged statement. This is, you know, probably not true. But you want to believe it with the cop. You want to believe the cop is a nice guy. And unfortunately, that kind of blind faith leads to all sorts of problems, as we're seeing now. So nothing has changed. I mean, this is what I really want to know. This is what bothers me more than anything else. We do not know their names. Now, I think we have every right to find out. I'm not saying these guys are guilty, you know, by default. But I'm saying they should be treated like everybody else, not given all these special privileges. They were allowed to go home and not be questioned. They were allowed to not have a breathalyzer test, even though they had been drinking. And to this day, I don't even know if they've been questioned by anybody. And to this day, their names have not been reported. Yeah. Now, imagine if you unloaded 50 shots on a cop because you thought he was going to shoot you. Do you think you'd have that kind of treatment? Absolutely no way. Now, where are the news agencies that are supposed to be out there gathering information? Why aren't they demanding that we know who these people are that were involved in this? Is it even legal for them to be keeping this information from the public? That's question number one. Who are these people? And if those names are already out there and I just haven't seen them, then that means the media is kind of helping to cover this up. So I've half a mind to call down there myself and just ask them, what are their names and why can't you give them to me?
Well, apparently all the cops involved are now doing administrative work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not even like suspended or anything.
No, they're getting paid and they're sitting behind a desk.
So if you call them, maybe they'll be there in the office.
Hey, it was me. What of it? I don't know. But if anybody knows out there more on this, like why these names have not been released, how long they can legally keep those names from being held, being released to the public, I'd like to know. But as far as I'm concerned, they should have been released right away. Media, talking about media, this is something that always bothers me with the whole web mentality. We have a newspaper here called Newsday. It's a fairly decent paper. It's Long Island's paper. They tried to go into New York City once, and they got chased away. So no more New York Newsday, but we still have Long Island Newsday. It's really the only newspaper we've got. Now, my opinion of this newspaper has plummeted in recent weeks, not because of anything they did. The stories are fine. You know, the reporting seems as fair as you can expect from a major newspaper. But what has really made me question who these people appeal to is going to their website and looking at their reader comments. And this is why I think it's not always a good idea to have reader comments on a website, because you just get the lowest of the low, the people who speak the loudest. And it just, right now when I think of Newsday, I think of a bunch of racists, because I'm going to read some of these. So we were looking these over before. This is a sampling of some of the responses to a march that took place on Saturday. Now, to be honest, I think that the black community in New York has been incredibly restrained, having this happen time and time again. And it's not a racial issue insofar as the cops, because as people know, I think two of the cops here were black themselves. It's a question of police assumptions against a particular minority group or a particular racial group. And you would never know that reading some of these comments where they basically think that the white people are being victimized here somehow. So the march was taking place in New York City, very restrained reaction, I think, because I honestly don't know how people can keep their cool after this keeps happening so many times. So people are marching down Fifth Avenue, and that's the worst thing you can do is interrupt people's Christmas shopping by making them pay attention to injustice in the world. So here's some of the kinds of reactions that we've gotten. Where was Al Sharpton last year when the two black detectives were shot dead on Staten Island by black gang members? I don't know. Where were you? You know, what exactly is the point here? Maybe he said something, maybe he didn't. But the two, I don't even know what the point this person's trying to make is. If two cops are shot by two other heavily armed people, that's definitely a problem. But it's not the same kind of problem of innocent people who have no guns at all being mowed down by cops who have lots of guns. You see the difference? Here's somebody from Stony Brook. Let's see. Man at stripper club known for drug and prostitution. Oh, well, if I was a police officer, I would do anything to make sure I get home to my wife and kids. If that means unloading my weapon to defend me, then so be it. Also, the car was used as a weapon. Oh, well, the people with brains and common sense will see that PD defended themselves, that the police department defended themselves. First of all, this flies in the face of all the facts that have been released in the case. You don't fire your gun at a car. A car is not it's not considered that kind of a weapon that you fire at. That's police department policy right there. Now, you're implying that because these people were in a strip club, that somehow that makes them less human and they have to pay the ultimate price if they're seen as being suspicious in some way. Okay, here's an AOL reader. Where is Sharpton and Jesse when all these black-on-black killings are going on? Well, first of all, you idiot, if two black cops were among the ones who killed this guy, then here we are. This is black on black violence. You got your wish, jerk. How about going to Newark, where over 100 people have been murdered this year? There are so many problems in the black community that the fact that these clowns are focusing all their attention on this one should be proof enough to everybody that unless there is a bunch of publicity to be reaped by these two clowns, you'll not see them. Hello, these people were called in by the family. They're supposed to not take the calls. They're supposed to ignore it. This is something that I haven't seen a case like this in Newark. All right, I'm sure if there was, a lot of people would be there and you'd be condemning them as well. Continuing here, what are the chances of a young black man getting killed by the police versus his chances of dying at the hands of another young black man? Astronomical, I'm sure. Okay, what point are you trying to make? Unfortunately, the entire black culture is about being cool and making easy money, but responsibility is not a word that comes up too often. Everyone else in the world is responsible for the plight of the black man except the black man. Illegals who come here from other countries unable to speak the language like blacks work hard and for the most part end up doing well for themselves. But the black man, even with all the social programs in place to help them get ahead, all they want to do is scam to get out of work. Drive down a white neighborhood, then a black neighborhood, and tell me how many people are standing around doing nothing all day in each. Blacks can spit their hatred at everyone else, but until they look in the mirrors and begin to take responsibilities for their actions, nothing will ever change. You know, this is the reaction to some poor guy getting murdered by cops, 50 shots. This is the reaction. Do you see? Maybe we have a problem in our society when this kind of anger comes at you. Okay, here we go again. How many homeless did Al Sharpton and his functionaries ply with cheap booze to attend the rally as done previously? So these people marching down Fifth Avenue, they've got to be alcoholics and boozers and homeless people. Yeah, that's real intelligent. Here's another reader. Two words, Tawana Brawley. Great job, Al. You be the man. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And this is like 90% of the readers of Newsday who post to this site are saying things like this. Keep voting Democrat. This is what happens. The liberals are killing this country with their political correctness and their affirmative action. Almost every word in that sentence was spelled wrong, by the way. this is amazing. The guy was a thug and deserved 100 shots. You don't like it? Too bad. You think the police are out of line? Too bad. Straighten up and fly right. Get educated and get out of the gutter. How come this clown Sharpton never marches when a black police officer is killed by a thug? They're all saying the same thing. Only marches for Tawana because she told the truth. Blacks are self-centered, ignorant people. They feel they are owed too much and quite honestly deserve nothing unless they are willing to get up and work for it. Ugh. It just goes on, pages and pages of this. And this is what Newsday is publicizing by having this forum where all this hate can be spewed freely. Here's someone from Chicago who checks in. I am so sick and tired of hearing about this story. Oh, too bad. Too bad. You're so sick. Imagine how sick you must be if you're in the family and you realize that that your father or brother or son is never coming home. That must get you kind of sick, too. Anyway, we'll let you have your say here. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about this story and the stupid marches for the quote-unquote black people who don't get a fair break in this world. Get over it. These were not 5 white cops that shot this drug-dealing man. Okay, what is your point? I wish I knew what these people were trying to say. And to call cops pigs. What about the 100 blacks in law enforcement that are supporting the marches for poor Sean Bell? Are they pigs too? No, I would say they're not pigs. I'd say pigs are the ones who look down on the rest of people and shoot them and ask questions later. I have no trouble calling them pigs because they are pigs. They're much worse than pigs. To call all cops pigs? No, that's not right, but I don't think that's what's happening here. If Sean Bell had a real job, here we go, instead of being a street pharmacist, this is what people do. They make accusations like this. And even if he was a street pharmacist, it was not worthy of that kind of fate. He would have been too tired, to go out after putting in a full day of real work, and none of this would have ever happened.
Was he getting married?
He was getting married the next day. He was celebrating the night before. I guess that makes him a criminal.
And he would be too tired, you know, even to go out to celebrate his marriage, had he been working.
Let's not forget that he was supposed to get married to his baby's mama the next day. This is so insulting. Which he should have done from the minute he found out she was pregnant. Okay, so now we have the moral police checking in here, saying that because you didn't get married when you were supposed to, you deserved your fate. I am so sick and tired of hearing about how these young black people don't have a chance in life. Well, tell me what kind of chance Sean Bell has in life right now. You are such an idiot. I wish you were here so I could yell at you in person. Thanks to equal opportunity, they have a better chance of getting scholarships, jobs, training, etc., but they choose to sit on their asses, collect welfare, and sell drugs on the side. You know, I think I've Should I read these other few?
No, I mean, it's all the same thing.
I mean, they basically use the N-word, they go crazy, and I think I've made the point. And you can see for yourself, go to Newsday.com and just look at any story about Sean Bell and look at the reader comments, and this is the kind of crap you see. And I really, you know, I'm all for freedom of speech and all that kind of thing, but when you become a forum just for a bunch of racists, you got to ask yourself, what purpose are you actually serving? Yeah, freedom of speech still exists. Let them run their own little websites and stuff. But I don't know. I think the image of the whole paper is in jeopardy based on crap like this. Meanwhile, other exciting news around the country. Just hours after the massive rally denouncing the police shooting of Sean Bell, police shot and killed an axe-wielding man in the Bronx Saturday. They responded to a couple of 9/11 calls just before 6 p.m. about an elderly man, get this, an elderly man threatening his family with an axe. When they arrived at the man's sixth-floor apartment at the Brady Court Co-ops in Pelham Parkway, police say the 62-year-old man barricaded himself in the apartment. Officers broke down the door, and police say the man escaped to the fire escape. And when they confronted him there, investigators say the man refused to drop the axe, and one officer fired 2 shots, hitting him in the stomach, is what killed him. Now, there's something wrong with this story. Do you see it? To wield an axe, you know, anybody who holds an axe is wielding an axe, all right? So right there, you could be holding it by your side, you'd be wielding an axe technically. They say that he was threatening his family with an axe. Well, where did they shoot him? On a fire escape? Did he have his whole family on a fire escape? No, he was retreating. Obviously, he was retreating, and in fact, they say he barricaded himself in the apartment.
So he's alone.
It sounds that way to me. So I don't understand why it was necessary to kill the guy. And this is the kind of thing we're talking about, that the force is being used way too often. You have these guns, right? The guns can be used to disable people, not just murder them. And it seems to me the cops don't remember that.
Well, I think that every time they draw their weapon, mm-hmm. they should understand that they can kill this person. This is a case where they could have just, you know, shot one of those rubber bullets at him. He's mm-hmm. old. I mean, he probably would have gone down right away.
Well, he's on a fire escape with an axe. How much of a threat was he to anybody but himself? He could throw the axe off the roof, I guess, or off the fire escape, but no, it's... But this story died. You know, no one's talking about this anymore. And this is the kind of thing people should always be asking questions about. And it's got nothing to do with not respecting the cops, all that nonsense. It's got to do with the right kind of force that is used in certain situations. And it doesn't matter what kind of guy, he could be the scum of the earth. He doesn't deserve to die for holding an axe and standing on a fire escape or not obeying orders that the police throw his way. And then you have in New Orleans, it's not just New York, this is happening all over the place. This was on CNN yesterday. New Orleans police lined up like at a firing range and fatally shot an unarmed man in the back as he fled from them in the days after Hurricane Katrina. That's according to a witness to the shooting. It marks the first time a witness has come forward publicly with information about the shooting of Ronald Madison, a 40-year-old mentally retarded man whose death has sparked a police investigation and a grand jury probe into what happened in and around New Orleans area on that day. And this kind of thing just is, it's sickening. It really is how people are treated sometimes. All right, so that's the cheery news that we have here. And again, we'll be taking phone calls probably in about, 10 minutes or so. 631-632-9872. Any other bits of news that you've heard recently that you want to focus
on? I don't know.
On?
I think all this talk about people getting killed is probably kind of depressing.
Well, it's all in the spirit of the holidays, you know.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, and speaking of the spirit of the holidays, we do have one final holiday piece. And again, apologies. I know people have written in with letters and complaints that the ones that we played before were not entirely cheerful enough or Christian enough or whatever. So what we've done, we've searched our archives and we found a recording. Not sure where this comes from exactly. We found an actual recording of an encounter between Santa Claus and, in all honesty, it was a department store Santa Claus, not a real Santa Claus, but, you know, one of the ones that's in, it's good enough. I mean, we all know that they're not the real Santa. Okay, so department store Santa Claus and one of the children. One of the children that's innocently asking for things. And I think it's kind of nice to recreate this magical time of year for people out there who may have forgotten the true meaning of Christmas and holidays and gift giving and things like that. So I think it would do us all good to just sort of close our eyes and remember those days when it was all about wondering what you were going to get under the tree and having this conversation with Santa Claus in the department store and just the wonders and marvels of a more innocent time. And we'll be back right after this. Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry. I'm going to hit the right button this time. We'll be back right after this.
Mr. Santa, for Christmas, could I please have a Busy Brenda Mystery Action Vacuum Cleaner doll?
No, honey. Sorry.
Could I have a battery-operated dog family?
No.
Could I Flexi the Pocket Monkey?
No, you may not have Flexi the Pocket Monkey.
Mr. Santa, could I have a Ready Ranger mobile field?
Oh, I'd have to go all the way out to Corvettes to get that. Forget it. What else?
Could I get just a little tiny Nerf ball?
No Nerf ball.
Could I get a Vic Hadfield hockey game?
Oh, a Vic Hadfield hockey game?
Yeah.
Well, no. Ha! What else?
Fluffy.
Fluffy, you want a Fluffy? No. The answer is no, you can't have it. Ha! You want a trap door? Whoa!
Mr. Santa!
That's one of Santa's little tricks. Price you pay for getting
Mr.
on Santa's lap. You give you the trap door.
Mr. Santa, Barbie was going to go to
Are
Malibu.
Are you sure about Malibu?
She needs a tan.
Oh, like I'm tan from the sun?
Yeah.
Well, my name is Santa from Trapdoor, Wisconsin. Oh, there you go on the floor again. Come on up.
Santa.
It's the old trapdoor bit, baby. The oldest one in
Mr.
the book.
Mr. Santa.
You fell for
can
it.
Can I get a sad sack pearl doll?
sand sack pearl now. Isn't that precious? No, you may not. Ha! What else don't you want? Or want to have and can't have?
Mr. Santa, for Christmas I was hoping I would get some Play-Doh.
Play-Doh? Is that what you want, kitten? Play-Doh.
Yeah, I want enough to build my parents a house in the country.
Enough to build your parents a house in the country?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, since that is an awful lot of Play-Doh, I'll just say no.
No, Mr. Santa, could I...
No, you get it? Well, you can't have the Play-Doh.
Mr. Santa, please,
When are you going to quit?
Shh. Mr. Santa, I don't have much time.
Santa's getting riled. Don't push the Santa. He gets ugly.
Mr. Santa, I would like to get a magic slate.
A magic slate?
Yes.
Oh, so you could do magic with it.
Well, you draw
it. Draw on it and then erase it right away, right?
Right.
So then there's nothing left. Well, tell you what, we'll eliminate the middleman. And I'll give you nothing.
Ha! I was hoping that maybe...
You were hoping. What else were you hoping for, brainless brat?
To get the art masterpieces game.
Stick it in your ear. No art masterpieces for you, Christmas time.
I won't be getting that?
Nope. Don't bother to look in the stocking, because it ain't going to be there.
But, Mr. Santa, what about a set of Pez?
Pez.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a rather small request, just to, you know...
It only doesn't cost very much.
Piece of Pez. Heck, you can get them free lots of times.
Well, could I...
You want Pez?
Yeah.
You can't have it! Ha! I love it! You're not getting it. And that's wacky old Santa at it again. Ha!
Don't go to Markham's department store. The Santa is a fraud.
A fraud? Realistic is a little bit more like it. Thank you.
Well, gosh. I seem to recall it sort of being like that, but maybe not quite as cheerful.
Well, when I was young, I lived in Russia.
That's right, you're from Russia.
Yeah. No, we had Santa. I mean, I don't think Russia even had department stores back then because it was communist, mm-hmm. or like just coming out of communism. But
you had the state department stores or whatever.
Well, we had store number one, store number two.
Mm-hmm.
But they had Santa's come to your house. Santa and his little helper are...
I mean, they really came to your
house.
Yeah,
no, they came, just people dressed up. Or actually, for me, it really was Santa.
They were actually members of the KGB.
Well, yeah, and, you know, checking
what kind of books you had.
It's kind of interesting. They actually had Santa's come, and they would, the parents would, you know, buy the presents ahead of time, and the Santa's would give you the presents and sing with you.
Wait a minute. You mean the parents would go out and buy the presents, and these total strangers would come and take credit for this, for the presents?
I mean, Santa, yeah.
Yeah, but, I know that, but what happens if Santa comes to your house and the parents didn't buy anything? What does Santa do to get out of that situation?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess Santa doesn't come then.
How does Santa know until he gets inside the house?
Who knows? Maybe some... You know, I imagine that Santa would be pretty drunk at the end of the night, too, so...
Yeah, well, that's something. They actually come to everybody's house, and they cover all the houses?
I think that they probably have, like, neighborhood Santas that go around, just, you know, the giant apartment buildings.
Wow. You know, we'd never tolerate that here. We'd never have strangers coming to people's houses talking to the children. No, it's...
And in Russia, Santa is Grandfather Frost, not Santa Claus.
Grandfather Frost. I like that. Wow. Okay, well, there's a little bit of Christmas cheer for you, and I hope that's enough because that's all you're getting because this is the last show before Christmas, and thank God it's over. What do you think of this story? Have you heard about this where this kid in... where is this? New Jersey? His teacher started preaching. Yeah, Kearney High School in Kearney, New Jersey. This 11th grade accelerated history class about the United States Constitution turned into like a church service where this teacher, David Peskiewicz, just started talking about how you got to heaven and what happens if you don't do certain things and how you belong in hell. And this student, Matthew LeClaire, thought it was unacceptable, as I think most people would.
Yeah, true.
And he actually recorded this guy's statement. So what happened was the guy denied that he was saying any of the stuff that he was telling people that you have to do these things or you'll go. I don't know how he even worked it into the conversation. Just starts talking about his religious beliefs and saying that people are going to go to hell if they don't do these things. And, you know, I'm all for people having their own crazy beliefs and things like that. But when you start forcing it on people, and that's what you do when you're in a classroom situation, you're forcing it on people. That's just not right. That's unacceptable. And in fact, it's constitutionally prohibited. You know, the class shouldn't be doing these kinds of things. If you go to a Catholic school, fine. But this is not what that was. So anyway, he taped the conversation. And of course, they denied that it ever happened. Then he played it. And now it's a big controversy. The thing that really gets me about this is that this kid, Matthew LeClaire, who I think is phenomenally brave and has got a lot of good values, he's getting death threats now because most of the people in the neighborhood are siding with the teacher, saying, how dare you? How dare you criticize the teacher and put his livelihood at risk? So it's really kind of crazy.
That is very crazy. I mean, is there anything about the kid getting in trouble, though? Because you're not allowed to record.
That's what they're trying to use that. They're saying that he violated his rights by recording him without his knowledge. Well, that's the whole point.
The teacher violated the student's lives.
Yeah, and if you're going to if you're going to lie about that, I think you got to be caught up in the lie. And we had, on Brain Damage, years ago, we had Math Teacher Spy, who would record his math teacher every week and play it on the air. And it was great. And we didn't think that, wow, you're violating somebody's rights? No, if the guy is saying something stupid, it should be known by people. And are you violating the babysitter's rights when you record them through the lamp, you know, with that special camera the parents get? I don't know. People are recording everything these days. Should we be notified every time we're inside of a video camera? Or our conversations are being picked up by somebody or something. Anyway, the class started in September, and Matthew grew concerned rather quickly. The first couple of days I had him, he had already begun discussing his religious point of view. It wasn't just his point of view. It went beyond that to say, this is the right way, this is the only way. And the way he said it, I wasn't sure how far he was going to go. But on the second day of taping, after the discussion veered from Moses' education... Is that how you say it? Moses. The education of Moses to free will. Matthew is actually a biblical name, too. Irony. He asked why a loving God would consign humans to hell. Some of Matthew's detractors say he set up his teacher by baiting him with religious questions, but Matthew, who was raised in the Ethical Culture Society, a humanist, religious, and educational group, said all of his comments were in response to something the teacher said. I didn't start any of the topics that were discussed. He said to the principal in a letter they wrote, I care about the future generation. I do not want Mr. Paskiewicz to continue preaching to and poisoning students. Right on. He's written, his family has written four letters to the district asking for an apology and for the teacher to correct any false statements he made in class, particularly those related in science. And so far that has not happened. But it really annoys me that somebody like this can have the guts to stand up and then he's threatened because of that. Yeah. You know, I wish people out there, and I know a lot of our listeners have the guts to stand up and say something. And they do, and they pay the price for it a lot of times.
No, this is bad, though. And then isn't this really, really illegal? That guy is kind of teaching religion?
Yeah.
I mean, when I was in high school, we'd always get disclaimers. Like in biology, the teacher was like, hey, you know, this is what science
teaches. It goes beyond that, too. He's basically saying that evolution is not real.
Yeah.
Evolution is just a theory, which, you know, if you know anything about science, theory does not mean that it's not how it happened. It's simply the terminology that is used. And, you know, if you're gonna teach, this is how you always get these people. If you want to teach religion, then, okay, let's teach Buddhism or something and see how they react to that. They never... really accept it. 631-632-9872 is our phone number, 631-632-WUSB. Our phone lines are now open, so if you have something to say to us, if we've annoyed you or said something or offended you, we'd love to hear about it. Please, waiting for those phones to start lighting up. And while we're waiting, we're going to read a couple of pieces of your email. Dear Emmanuel, I got an MP3 player in December, and I got to listen to the Brain Damage collection. Those were a great bunch of shows. You're talking about the shows from back in the 80s and early 90s. I was upset that the last few years had so few shows. I just wasn't around for the later years as much, so I only did a couple of shows a year, actually, until it ended. Anyway, I love Brain Damage Incorporated. I enjoyed the alternative coverage of the first war in Iraq, a point of view I was too young to have known about at the time. Most of all, I discovered some great music through Brain Damage, Phil Oakes, Bob Dylan, Negative Land, BAD2, plus a new appreciation for The Clash. One feature I particularly liked was the continuing serial you had called The Tripods. It was a great story, and if memory serves, you never got to finish the series. Have you ever thought about re-releasing these episodes? It would make a great tie-in with podcasting because of the name, Tripodcast or something like that. Anyway, listening to both Off the Wall and Off the Hook regularly, both are good shows. John from Boston. John, thanks very much for your letter. And yeah, the plan is we do have, I believe we have archives of the remaining Tripod episodes in another program called The Voice of Long Island, which hopefully we'll be able to release too in months, years ahead. So we'll be talking about that on this station if people are interested in that, most definitely. But and also, you know, occasionally we hear from listeners who had heard Brain Damage in the past, and they have tapes too. If you're one of those listeners, please contact us, otw@2600.com. One listener has already given us some tapes that we're just about finished dubbing and adding to our current collection. But if you have tapes of the shows, even if they're tapes that we already have online, you might have pieces that we don't have, and it would just be very good to complete the collection. Again, otw@2600.com. Shall we take this phone call here?
Go ahead.
All right, 631-632-9872 is our phone number. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
What's on your mind?
Nothing much. I haven't really got any to say. I don't really know what to say. I didn't think I was going to be able to call because I had to find, like, your area code.
I'm sorry?
I had to find, like, your area code, which is New York, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I haven't really got any much, like, anything relevant to say.
Well, that didn't stop you from calling, though, did it?
Yeah, yeah, and they should get rid of all those guns and stuff, because those people getting shot, that's pretty crazy.
It is crazy, yes, and we've just about had enough of it. But I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah, well, they could just get rid of them. I mean, over here we had, like a massacre. I mean, like, this dude, like, he, like, he was having, like, lunch with his psychologist.
Uh-huh.
And then he just took out, like, an automatic gun and then shot down 12 people. And after that, that was in Hobart. I mean, they just destroyed, like, all the automatic weapons.
Where are you calling from, Texas?
All of them. Pardon?
You're calling from Texas. You've got that Texas accent.
Australia.
What? Where?
Australia.
Australia?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like an Australian accent.
Yeah, crushed all the guns and got rid of them. Over here, like, you can't really get high-powered weapons over here anymore.
No, that's definitely not Texas. Well, yeah, no, you're certainly right about that. Okay. Gosh. Well,
Do you guys have, like, caller ID, though?
Do we have caller ID? No, we barely have calls. we just have a little button with lights on it. Not much else.
Are the calls coming through now?
There are some. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. So if anybody out there would like to participate in Off the Wall, we'd certainly like to hear from you. Any other thoughts from Australia?
One?
I'm sorry?
Conference one?
I can't hear you at all.
What?
All right. I'm sorry. I can't. I'm not sure what he's saying. Could you make him out? All right. Well, he's not here anymore. 631-632-9872. So please, this is why I like to have multiple calls, so we have people to fall back on. If you're out there driving in your car, please give us a call. Let us know what you think about world events and religion in schools and other things like that. Here's another call. But I'm going to wait for two calls to come in. So if you're that caller calling right now, please keep calling until we get a second call coming in as well. So we have, in case we can't hear the person or whatever, we have somebody to fall back on. 631-632-9872.
I'd like to hear other people talk about cell phone jammers, what they think about, you know, denying someone their service of being loud.
Yeah, are we denying them their First Amendment right? Is that what we're doing? Are we denying them the right to annoy people? Is that a God-given right? Is it in the Constitution somewhere that you're allowed to yell and scream in someone's ear? I don't know. Still just got that one call. Arseny, come on. You get somebody to call in here. We're not even asking for money. We're just asking for a call.
Should we say something really offensive?
Well, I think we already have, haven't we? We've offended lots of people. No? Okay. Well, I can read letters.
There's two. Look.
All right, there's two. Let me take... I'll take this one. Good evening. You're on the air.
On the air? Whoa. Already, huh?
Do you want to be on the air or not?
Why not?
Okay, where are you calling from?
Nichols Road.
Okay, you see, you're the person who made the difference. That's why I picked you first, because you're the one who put us over the top, you know.
The second call, huh?
Yeah, the second call.
Yeah, well, sounds like you got a bunch of brain-dead people calling.
Well, we only have one person call.
Yeah, but from Australia?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was Texas, but apparently I've been corrected that that was not a Texas accent, it was an Australian accent.
It was 8 in the morning there, maybe he's still sleepy.
Well, it's possible, too.
Plus, the actual statistics for Australia were that the gun violence increased.
I've heard both. In all honesty, I've heard both.
All the bad guys ended up having guns and none of the good guys.
Well, do you really think the problem is solved when all the good guys get guns, too? Or don't the good guys just turn into bad guys at some point?
Not at all. They've actually, the statistics is if you have a right to carry law, the gun violence goes down, and armed robberies and rapes go down.
Well, I don't have statistics in front of me, so I can't really debate those. But I don't know. To me, it just seems like there's too many guns out there, and I think that's a leading cause of the problem.
In the illegal hands, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it's the criminals that we need to lock up, not the guns.
Yeah, but you know, the people who go around firing in schools and things like that and mowing people down and killing
their
families,
they're
legal.
Be able to control them no matter what.
Right, but I'm saying
just as well take a Chevy and run people over in a playground.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't happen very often or effectively as with guns. But those people are legal owners until they crack. And I'm just saying that everybody cracks at some point. So you want to make it so that if somebody does crack, they don't take a whole lot of people with them. It's not that easy for them.
Right, but we're going to use prior restraint where, you know, in case somebody does something?
I just don't think it should be so important to us that everybody has a gun within reach, you know?
Well, if that's, yeah, but you're saying if somebody has the ability to do something, then then we should prevent them beforehand. That means that all men should be tested, you know, taken DNA samples in case they decide to rape somebody someday.
No, I don't think I'm saying that. I don't think I'm going that far. I'm just saying that we make it so incredibly easy and practically hand out guns to people that when they do get a little drunk or unreasonable, all of a sudden they have access to this thing that ordinarily they would use in a proper way, but since it's so easy for them to get their hands on, they use it in an irresponsible way. I'm sorry?
So it's so rare in actuality how often that happens, but it makes news media whenever it does.
It seems to happen every day.
No, not what you're saying. Criminals having guns every day commit crimes, but not honest people with the guns.
Okay,
what you're saying doesn't happen every day.
Let's talk about the honest people in Jamaica, the cops who killed that guy. You know, they obviously had a lot of guns, and all of a sudden they went crazy.
But supposedly had the training and everything else.
Right.
It just didn't do any good now, did it?
It didn't do any good. Exactly. So I'm saying that people in a situation won't always do the right thing, even if they do have weapons at their side. You see?
Yeah, but... If I turn the radio down...
Yeah, you're on delay, so you're going to get very confused.
No, I hope not. yeah, where was I?
I believe I made a point about the cop and all the guns.
And one of the things you had mentioned was that they should wound a suspect, but that's not their training. The training is to aim for the mass of the body. However, they may have mace or a taser weapon that they could use in the situation that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should have used mace on that axe guy.
Yeah, mace on the axe guy. I mean, that would have made more sense, don't you think? An axe guy on a fire escape?
I agree. But you're not in their shoes, and neither was I. You know, I certainly can't defend their actions.
Yeah, but, you know, I think we say that too much when it comes to cops. We never say that when it comes to civilians. Yeah, we weren't in their shoes. We don't know why the guy suddenly started shooting at somebody else or did this particular action. So I just think they should be treated like everybody else. Do you think we should know their names?
Yeah, but that also may put them at risk. So you have to be very careful about it.
Well, when you kill somebody who there's no reason to kill, yeah, you would be at risk for a lot of angry people, I would imagine.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call. I'm going to take some others.
Okay. Take care.
Take care. And good evening. You're on.
Hey, how are you? USB?
Yes. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, I was calling on you guys talking about the gun policies and the abuse of authority.
Yes.
I called last week and we discussed the kid with the Nintendo, this college student.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that that's something that should also be brought up again, too, is that you have these police officers with a certain amount of arrogance and camaraderie whereby they allow themselves to get carried away. And ultimately, you know, he's right. They should limit guns, especially when it comes to people that maybe are not necessarily mentally stable, as these officers were not, you know, whether they were drinking or whatever the story
is. That's a very good point. Not mentally stable. Now, everybody, I don't care if you're clinically diagnosed as being mentally unstable, but everybody, the sanest among us, at some point is going to be mentally unstable, whether you haven't had enough sleep, whether you've eaten the wrong thing, or you drank too much,
depression.
Or you're just in a bad mood.
There's a lot of medication people are taking these days, which can ultimately affect someone's demeanor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that kid, you know, was a specially trained unit, and these cops showed up with the university police, and they killed him for stealing a Nintendo. So, I mean, I do think we have a serious problem, you know? And
absolutely.
Unfortunately, people's lives are being taken away from them, whether it's Mr. Diallo or, you know, they said he had his wallet in his hand, you know?
And one of the problems...
It just keeps happening over and over again, and we have a police state, you know, where authorities, and even Waco, Texas. I mean, mm-hmm. What did those women and children that were hiding in the bus in their bomb shelter or whatever, what did they do that they deserved to die? They couldn't wait them out, but they had to, you know, express their authority and murder that family, burn them alive.
Well, let's not open up the whole Waco thing, because that's another 2 hours right there.
I know, but it's the abuse of authority, you know? They're getting away with it on a constant basis, and there's nothing we as civilians mm-hmm. can do about it except be continuously abused by them under the guise of their, you know, heroes, their heroism, you know? I mean, they're allowed to shoot us and kill us and, you know.
Well, a lot of times I think what we're seeing are cops reacting to what if. They think everybody's carrying guns. And that's why I think the whole everybody having guns, everybody being safer mentality is wrong. Because if you assume somebody has a gun, then you're going to want to kill them if you think they're threatening you. And that's what these cops are doing. They're assuming everybody has guns. So how is giving guns to all the law-abiding people, which you have no reason to believe somebody is not a law-abiding person until they prove otherwise, how does that make you safer? It seems to just raise suspicion.
No, you're right. You're 100% right, and I appreciate you having this dialogue, and I can't commend you enough. I love your program.
Thanks for calling.
Let's take another call. I hope you have one.
Yes, we have a bunch now.
Okay, you have a nice evening.
Take care. Bye. This always happens. You know, at the end, we get a full switchboard, but let's see if we can squeeze in one more. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I agree with your reaction to those letters from Newsday. I mean, they have no relation to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely absurd. And I'm looking at how they judge things, and I'm looking for objectivity. Like they used affirmative action. But it seems to me that the guy who's president now is a beneficiary of affirmative action for rich white guys. He got a master's degree, undergraduate degree at Ivy League schools. I've heard him mispronounce words that a pretty decent junior high school kid wouldn't mispronounce. You know, one malaprop after another.
Right.
And I wonder, how would he be judged if he weren't white? I mean, both him and Reagan were pretty... I mean, Reagan said that you could recall intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if a black guy had made those many malaprops and all those gaffes that Reagan made, you would hear that word affirmative action all the time.
Absolutely.
Pardon me?
Absolutely. You're right. I think Bush is already being judged pretty harshly by most people. It just doesn't seem to matter to him. But Reagan's being remembered as one of our greatest presidents, and I was there. It wasn't like that.
That's only in the short term. In the future, the damage he's done to this country will be apparent. But what I'm saying is, from all corners, if he were black, he would be black people would be embarrassed by him. When white people, who especially the less educated ones, talk about Bush, they say, "Well, what I like about him is he's like a regular guy and all of that. He talks like me." But if he were black, they'd say he's stupid.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Black people would be embarrassed by him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would be talking about affirmative action and how could he have gotten a master's degree. And he can't pronounce resonance, or he can't get out a comment. How does that thing go? If you fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. He completed the second part of it by saying,
"Won't get fooled again."
Fool again,
quoting The Who or something.
Right.
That was awesome.
Right. Well, I mean that would be intolerable to people if he were black. The same people who wrote those letters, I don't think they've written any letters to Newsday asking why is our president stupid. My sister's a teacher, and she said one of her students said, "Why do I have to study and do well? Because the president's stupid, and he's president."
Right, right. Well, you know, I think the only way to really counter this is for a lot of people to check out Newsday.com and respond to these idiots and make it clear that this is not what readers of this paper stand for, because it really is embarrassing. It's not what Long Islanders are.
Yeah, well, I recall when the Central Park jogger case happened. Mm-hmm. And
we're running out of time, so in 15 seconds.
Then.
All right, call back next week. We'll discuss this some more.
Bye.
Take care. I'm sorry, we're out of time because the time really flies. And we get a lot of calls. This is what happens, Arseny, every week. All the calls come at the end.
Yeah.
We have to beg for that first or second call, and then full switchboard. I don't know. Maybe the show should start at 6:30 and go to 7:30. Maybe
I think you should start getting really, really offensive, you know, in the beginning.
I can be more offensive.
Bring up a lot of issues people like, and...
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe I'll call earlier.
Be more offensive. Okay, I'll take your notes. You're here to judge. You're here to tell me what I'm doing wrong. So I look forward to the conference we're going to have after this. Arseny, thanks for stopping by. It's good having you here.
Thanks for having me.
The blues is coming up next, I believe, right? Yes, good. Okay, we have a blues person. We weren't sure about that. And we'll be back again next week for our Loneliest Day of the Year show, December 26, 2006. That's going to be fun. I guess... We're going to leave you with a song that will make you cheer up a bit if you're feeling somewhat philosophical or maybe insignificant. This is guaranteed to do the trick. See you next week.
Whenever life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious, or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough, just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving, and revolving at 900 miles an hour, that's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day in an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. On expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz, as fast as it can go, at the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth, and pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
Michael Falzarano of Hot Tuna. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM.